You are now listening to the OrthoBullets podcast.
This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be another adapted OrthoBullets core webinar from the OrthoBullets core curriculum, and this one will cover the topic of pediatric pelvic fractures from the pediatric section. The topic will be reviewed by Dr. Lindsay Andros, who is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and assistant professor of clinical surgery at the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California.
Pelvic fractures. So these are really rare, so we're going to just kind of hit the high points. These are only going to be about 1 to 2% of all your pediatric fractures. The things that you see probably much more commonly than traumatic pelvic fractures are avulsion injuries, and these are usually in active adolescents. Okay, so it's usually the avulsion injuries are the result of low energy trauma. They're usually doing some sort of explosive activity during a sport. So ASIS avulsions, that's the sartorius. AIIS, that's the rectus femoris. And ischial avulsions, that's going to be your hamstrings and adductors. As long as you know your anatomy, it's easy to answer these questions correctly. Again, as we said, AIIS is your rectus femoris. That's probably the most frequently tested. ASIS, your sartorius, that also comes up. Pelvic ring injuries are generally the result of high energy trauma, usually from either peds versus auto or just motor vehicle accidents. And the pelvic ring injuries tend to be more of the APC injuries. These in kids have a higher rate of being a single pelvic ring break. Lower rate of hemorrhages seen tends to be sort of smaller vessels that vasoconstrict on their own. So kids, while we sometimes do see them hemodynamically unstable, it's less common. Acetabular fractures are very rare in kids until their triradiates are closed. But if they do happen before their triradiates are closed, keep in mind that it can cause a growth arrest, and so they need to be followed for that. Okay. And just know that there's a high rate of CNS and abdominal injury in cases where there's traumatic pelvic injuries. This is their high energy mechanisms, and so they tend to have the other high energy trauma injuries that you see associated. And you want to be looking for femoral head injuries, dislocations, acetabular fractures, in addition to the pelvic ring fractures. Just like Dr. Shirley was saying, don't have the satisfaction of the search. Look carefully for the other injuries. So there's a need for operative intervention in acetabular type fractures if there's any significant step off, but both for the pelvic ring injuries and the acetabular injuries, after the triradiates closed, those tend to be ones where they're more going to behave like adult fractures. Knowing the ossification centers, you'll see it in the ilium at 9 weeks, ischium at 16 weeks. The fusion tends to occur at 12 years in girls and 14 years in boys of the triradiates. The development of the acetabulum, the depth of the acetabulum, results basically from the concavity developing in response to the pressure from the femoral head. So just like in kids that have congenital hip dislocations or hip dysplasia where their femoral head's not sitting deeply in their acetabulum, they end up with a shallow acetabulum. That's the same concept here. Okay. And then there's three secondary ossification centers of the acetabulum. The other secondary ossification centers of the pelvis, don't confuse these with avulsion fractures. So the iliac crest, this is your Risser sign, and then the ischial apophysis, this is going to appear at that 15 to 17 year old range and is going to fuse at 19 to 25. Okay, so there are a couple different classifications, but most commonly if you're using a classification scheme for pediatric pelvic ring injuries, it's going to be the Troyd-Zieg classification. And basically type 1 is your avulsion injuries. This is the thing that you're going to see probably the most of. Type 2 is when you have iliac wing fractures. Type 3 is when you have fractures of the ring but no segmental instability. And type 4 is when there's a ring fracture and it's unstable. Okay, so in terms of presentation, these tend to be high energy injury, again, motor vehicle accident, except for the avulsion injuries that are more sporting injuries. You want to be monitoring for hemodynamic instability, and it's important to remember your ABCs and complete trauma workup. The radiographs that you want to look at, both AP, Do Dave use inlet and outlet? That's essentially the same as what you use for the adult pelvic fractures as well. But it's important to note that in pediatric pelvic fractures, it's actually very easy to miss them on a simple plain radiograph. So if you're not getting these additional views and not scrutinizing them, and sometimes even if you are, you want to have a high threshold for looking for these injuries or you'll miss them. If you have high suspicion but don't appreciate the fracture on a plain film, then you want to get a CT scan. You can also get an MRI in the case where you are looking for avulsion injuries if they're not obvious on x-ray. So in terms of treatment, so generally if there's not a lot of displacement in terms of the avulsion injuries or the iliac wing fractures, then you're going to just treat these with protected weight bearing followed by therapy. And then the type 3 pelvic ring fractures without segmental instability and without any displaced acetabular fracture, those can also be treated with just protected weight bearing. In terms of the acetabular fractures, again, even if you're small and you have some growing and remodeling capability, you need to have joint surfaces lined up. That's a good principle for basically every fracture that you're looking for. So if there's any disruption of the joint surface of the acetabulum, that would be treated operatively, whether you're 8 or 18. Okay. In general, for types 1 and 2, you sort of start out with protected weight bearing for about 4 weeks. Do some stretching and strengthening, and then gradually return them to activities. If it's type 3 and it's a not a unstable ring injury, then you can just let them weight bear as tolerated, as opposed to the type 4s where you really keep them on bed rest until it's healed in a little bit. Times that we would do ORIF are, again, fairly rare. You have to have a significant amount of displacement, generally more than 2 centimeters, or some involvement of the articular surface. We try to be physis sparing around the triradiates, usually this would consist of smooth pins across the physis that then would be removed. Again, this would be a very uncommon injury. And again, ORIF with avulsion injuries, rarely needed. They'd have to have a lot of displacement. And I think we already talked about any significant joint displacement of the acetabulum. You need to have a smooth joint surface. So whether you're 8 or 18, you don't want to rely on remodeling for the articular surface. And then if there's a vertical shear or anterior posterior compression injury, then especially if there's hemodynamic instability, there's a role for placing a binder in the trauma bay. And then you can convert this to an external fixator as soon as possible because you don't want to leave the binders on for long. Again, that's just like the principle in adults. But remember that lateral compression fractures are not going to be improved with a binder because their mechanism of injury is compression. And so that you won't make things better by putting a binder on an LC fracture. Death is fortunately rare, and this is usually due to associated trauma injuries. And again, with kids, we see maybe even at a big high-volume trauma center like CHLA, we'll see maybe one case a year with a pelvic fracture with a large amount of hemorrhage and hemodynamic instability. And just be cognizant that if you have an injury to the triradiates, those can cause a growth arrest, which can create a problem because your acetabulum may be insufficient for the space of your femoral head. So you have to be looking for that. Again, this is just, you can get progressive acetabular dysplasia if that triradiate closes early. And bar excision could be performed, but is unlikely. Oftentimes, if this happens, again, this is, we now gone to the super, super rare, so not highly commonly seen and not highly tested, you would think about a late reconstruction potentially with a pelvic osteotomy. Leg length discrepancies could also occur if you have a physial injury. And again, malunions, nonunions, those things are possible but not common.
That's all for this review on pediatric pelvic fractures. If you would like access to the full video version of these core webinars, sign up for the OrthoBullets core curriculum today. There will be a link in the show notes for anyone who is interested. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets. the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.